I'm Marty Moscowane. Welcome back to Radio Times. Barbara Fleischer and Thelma Reese are longtime friends and recently retired college professors. They are two of the millions of people who are redefining retirement. Baby boomers are retiring at a fast clip, about 8,000 a day, and trying to figure out what to do with the rest of their lives. Our guest created the blog ElderChicks.com for women over 60 to share information, stories, and guidance about the challenges and opportunities that await them. Their new book, The New Senior Woman, Reinventing the Years Beyond Midlife, is based on interviews they conducted and conversations they had with women all over the country. They talked about learning new skills, getting rid of clutter, managing independence, figuring out where to live, and forging new relationships with their children. We had hoped to have them with us in studio here, but because of the snowstorm, they both join us by telephone. Thelma Reese, nice to have you with us on Radio Times.
Thanks so much, Marty. It's great to be with you.
Nice to have you with us, even by telephone. And Barbara Fleischer, thank you very much as well.
Thank you.
Barbara, let me begin with you, and I want to begin with the word elder chicks. Are you trying to rebrand what we call older women?
Well, when we think of elder chicks, we think of, yes, we are elder. We've learned a lot in life, and one thing we learned is that we're not finished yet. We have lots of energy. We have much more time than our mothers did. We have a lot better health. Everything is really much better for us than it was for the generations that preceded us. And we are looking at this time, you know, as a fork in the road rather than the end of the line, so to speak. And so we are trying to rebrand what it means to be retired and what it means to have your family be, you know, grown.
Well, and I want to pick up on all of that. Let me go back to you, Thelma Reese. And as I was preparing the show, I was thinking about the times I go to a card store to get a birthday card for a woman over a certain age, and they are all so insulting. It's a pet peeve of mine. Is it time to rethink and give older women their due? Go ahead.
I think so. Some of them I find actually very funny. We do have to maintain a sense of humor about aging, too. That's probably the chief ingredient of doing it well, is to at least keep a sense of balance. But it's also a time of, we have found, of renewal. I think that's where the chicks come in, that there's a time of renewal, a time to reflect, a time not to think so much about what you didn't do, or maybe not at all, if you can help it. Don't think about what you didn't do, but what you still can and what you're going to do. And I think those cards, Marty, you're right, are often a reflection of the way society thinks of older women. But that is changing as rapidly as we are.
Well, and again, I want to pick up on that. Barbara, let me go back to you. And I have to say, too, when I have conversations with my quote-unquote older friends, we have a moratorium on just talking about what's happening to our bodies. We just decided we're just not going to talk about it anymore. We're moving on.
Absolutely. We sometimes call them organ recitals.
Exactly.
And only allow a few minutes for them, and then they're finished. We find that focusing externally, focusing outward, reaching out into the world is much more productive than focusing inward and being concerned with what ails us. Of course we all have declining health as we get older, different challenges, things happen. But it doesn't need to consume us.
Thelma, let me go back to you. And Barbara talked about the fact that, I guess, compared to our mothers or grandmothers, generally speaking, women who are of a certain age and thinking about retiring or already have retired are a bit healthier, a bit more financially secure. But as we also know, the country's gone through a lot of hard times. And we also know that a lot of people have not saved and even prepared for their retirement years. What's your advice to them?
Well, that is scary when that happens, but I have to say that in our conversations with people, which ran the gamut from people who have comfortable lives economically to people who don't, we found attitudes not that different among people who are aging in a way that we thought was doing it well. They find out what resources they do have, and they work with those. Now, obviously, it's turning out that our real audience is turning out to be boomers, aging boomers.
That's right.
Who are looking ahead and realizing that they do have to start planning now. And for them, this is a wonderful time to really take stock and measure what they have and start becoming very sophisticated about their own portfolios, if they have them, their own plans for their financial health in retirement. But people who are already here have to do the same, see what they've got and what they can make of it.
Barbara, it's all about attitude, as we say here in Philadelphia.
Attitude is everything. Yeah, that, I think it should be pronounced that way, don't you?
I do. I actually sort of like it. Barbara, I'm wondering when you were, to be honest with you, I don't know how old either of you are. How old are you, Barbara?
I'm 83.
You're 83. And Thelma, how old are you?
I'm the kid. I'm 80.
You're just 80 years old.
Yeah.
I gotcha.
But I always bow to Barbara's experience.
Her great wisdom.
wisdom, right.
I understand. But Barbara, I'm curious about when you were, let's say, 30.
Yes.
What did you think 83 would be?
Oh, I thought 83 would be, oh, I saw myself on crutches. I saw myself crotchety. I really didn't see myself at 83. I think when I was 30, these years were in a cloud. They weren't going to really happen to me. I thought of 80 as somebody who was 50. So I don't know that I actually prepared for this time when I was 30. But when I got older, I did. When I got to realize that retirement was within, let's say, a decade's reach, I began to think, well, now I need to deal with this. But I can add one thing.
Sure.
And that is, I remember when dealing with my mother, who, when her children were out of the house and she was now sort of on her own, she depended on me for her life. She really continued to depend on me. And one day I said to myself, this is not going to be me.
Oh, wow.
I just knew it. It was like a transformative moment. I can still picture being on the phone and when I hung up thinking, this is not me.
And has that turned out to be true?
And it turned out to be true. I've just never forgotten that. I didn't think of it in terms of old age, because I really didn't think of my mother as old, you know, an old person. But I thought of it in terms of what's going to happen when my family is grown, because I had children at the time, and out of the house. And that really did form a lot of my opinions and my attitudes towards and plans for my life was going to be like.
Reese, let me go back to you, and I wonder whether, and I'm looking at both of your bios, and clearly you both have lived very full and active lives, but do you think people are sort of the same before and after retirement, that how you lived your life up until retirement is probably how you're going to live it afterwards, or no?
Oh, we've seen very different takes on this. One woman who's only 62, who's in the book, who we met right here, in fact, at the senior center at Broad and Lombard, said, I'm not, and she's in the book, she said, I'm not retired, I'm refired, who has such tremendous plans, even learning to drive. She's originally a New Yorker who never had to, she said. But one of the things, too, Marty, when you were talking about how we used to view people at this age when we were young, there weren't as many. The demographic has changed so rapidly and so radically that what used to be a tiny piece of the population is now a very, very visible chunk. There are just so many more people living so much longer that you can't really, I think younger people can't avoid thinking about older people now. They're even seeing them in commercials.
Yes, they are. Surprise, surprise. And I have to add to that is that I know some people who did retire, and they tell me they are busier than they ever were, and they seem to have a permanent smile on their face. But it sounds like those are the people, Barbara, that have prepared and perhaps enjoying, you know, the financial security and the good life that they had before they retired.
Well, I think when to think about what is different now and whether these people were like this before, I think the thing that one of the major things that has changed is our own expectations of ourselves. I think that some people look around and say, I've got a lot left. There's a lot more time. I've got more energy. I expect to continue my life as it was. When I say as it was, I mean being with purpose and meaning and doing things and being looking outward. But I do think that there are that your attitudes until this point very much shape what you're going to do. And the attitudes are things like, how reflective are you? Are you a person that looks and says, oh, I'm going in this direction and I can't change my direction because they don't say I'm a very rigid person, but they are. Or their attitudes, I'm going to go with the flow and whatever happens is going to, I'm going to deal with it. And when I see that I have better health and I have a longer life and I have opportunities, I'm going to take them. Perhaps these are people who took opportunities before they reached this age.
Well, we're about a minute before our break here. One of the women in the book, Thelma Reese, says that I want to do things during the day that make me feel good at night.
Exactly. Can you go to sleep at night feeling, not every night, we know we have some sleepless nights, but if you feel that the day has been in some way productive, you sleep better than if you're worried about what you're going to do. So if you can construct your life in a way that you're still contributing in some way, and maybe in ways you never did before, it's a great time. It's a great opportunity.
And that's Thelma Reese, who joins us along with Barbara Fleischer. And we are talking about elder chicks, for lack of a better word, a word I actually like very much. They have written, co-authored a new book called The New Senior Woman, and it's subtitled Reinventing the Years Beyond Midlife. We want to hear from you at 1-888-477-9499. You can send us an email, radiotimes@whyy.org, and you can send us a tweet at Marty Moss Coam. We're going to take a very short break. I'm going to give you an update on some of the transportation issues here in the Delaware Valley and get back to our conversation with our guests. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
The Friends Schools of Bucks County are committed to challenging minds and nurturing spirits to prepare students for life. Providing independent education from preschool through 12th grade, the Friends Schools of Bucks County include United Friends, Newtown Friends, Buckingham Friends, and the George School. Guided by Quaker values, these schools provide a core curriculum while fostering exploration, self-discipline, creativity, and a desire to learn. United Friends, Newtown Friends, Buckingham Friends, and the George School support WHYY.
I'm Marty Moss Coam, and yes, I share your pain and frustration with the weather today. Another snowy, sleety day in the Delaware Valley. You could be staring at the weather on your TV or out the window, but you're not. You're listening to Radio Times, and we're very happy about that. We're determined to produce fresh programs every day so you can stay informed and be part of the conversation. Now, be part of the WHYY family and become a member. It's really very simple. You decide what this service is worth, $5, $10, $20 a month. Call 1-888-345-9499 or go to our website at whyy.org and make a pledge. I took pledges very early this morning from listeners who did their part and were enthusiastic supporters of WHYY. Please join them and become a member because we must meet our overall goal. We must stay on track. We're not there yet. Call 1-888-345-9499. Again, pledge online at whyy.org. We thank you very much for making that pledge. This is Radio Times here on WHYY in Philadelphia. I'm Marty Moscoen. Let me give you this transportation update. All city and suburban bus service has been suspended and will remain suspended until further notice. All CCT service will be suspended except for customers going to or coming from dialysis and return trip for customers who travel on CCT earlier today. Service on the Norristown high-speed line has been suspended. The regional rail, all lines are operating with delays of up to looks about 60 minutes, and all other SEPTA modes are operating. However, customers may experience delays. We are talking with Barbara Fleischer and Thelma Reese in this hour of Radio Times about reinventing seniorhood and talking about their new book called The Senior Woman, Reinventing the Years Beyond Life. And again, taking calls at 1-888-477-9499. Thelma Reese, let me go back to you. And what's interesting is a lot of the people that you talked to got rid of a lot of their stuff. And it seemed that retirement or this period in people's lives was a chance to go through all their clutter and try to figure out what they wanted to keep and what they were willing to part with.
You know, that topic of downsizing or decluttering was so emotional for so many people, Marty. And when we did workshops or discussion groups, we found this was something that was just of enormous import to people. Maybe it's a metaphor for some people, too, about change in life and getting rid of things that are not just things, and the actual physical things take on some different meaning, and they all hold memories. And people are so creative about the ways they do it. There are so many different ways, which we, of course, talk about in the book, because the book is really conversations with people that we spoke with all over the country, and they all had something to tell us and some kind of role modeling for us, and it's fascinating. But that is the issue that seems to strike a chord everywhere. Do I leave my home? Do I move into an apartment? Do I move in with children? Often it's the other way around. Do my children come back and live with me? And do I keep things? And if I do, how do I keep them?
All right. And it was interesting, Barbara Fleischer, one of the things that some of these women, not a lot of them, but some of them talked about was, if I can say it this way, getting rid of a spouse. I mean, for some it was a chance to sort of look back on their life and say, I'm not as happy as I want to be, and I'm thinking about my future, and this isn't working.
Yes, this is often, not often, but it does happen. And in fact, we came across an expression called the gray divorce, which was kind of interesting that there were many men and women who chose this point in their lives to review their relationships and felt that perhaps there was more that they could get or something different. Maybe they had outgrown their spouses. Mm-hmm. This was an unfortunate thing. It's a terrible time of conflict for people, but sometimes it has to be done and they emerge happier for it.
And we know, Thelma Reese, that more and more older people are going online. They're looking at social media sites and, if not dating, certainly interested in finding out about other people and forming some kind of a relationship.
You know, when we started the book several years ago, we started thinking about the book. Our daughters said, why don't you blog? And, of course, our initial response was, what's a blog? But we realized that this kind of virtual community could mean something, because people are now getting used to the fact that they may not be in the same city, and yet someone else somewhere will have something to say that matters and some kind of feeling of connection. And, of course, isolation is one of the worst things that can happen as we get older. So the idea of people using their computers, their iPads, and, of course, staying in touch with children this way and Skyping and seeing their grandchildren who may be in another country or across the country from them is a boon to this generation, but we've found many people who are still resistant.
Oh, just feeling like it's too complicated, or I don't know how to.
Yes.
I don't know how to get this to work.
Yes, and who should be encouraged to do the simplest things, not have to expect that they have to master everything about a computer in order to be in touch technologically.
Well, we have a lot of people I want to get to, but let me just put one more thing to you, Barbara Fleischer, and this is from your book, and the idea of getting out of what you call the senior bubble.
Yes.
And this is more the sort of analog world of meeting people that are not senior citizens or elder chicks. Expand on that if you could.
So many people of any age, really, but particularly as they get older, are so much more comfortable with people their own age, people who think like they do, people who like to do the things they do, people who complain about the same things they like to complain about. And they enclose themselves. They are only with people like them. And what happens with that is that the number of people in that bubble become smaller and smaller as people become ill. People die, they become even more isolated, and then they find themselves really totally alone. And this is a dreadful thing to be in that bubble.
Indeed.
Other women, many women, and of course you meet them in our book, refuse to allow this to happen, and they reach out and deliberately find things to do that will take them out into the world, and out into the world of younger people. Now, the people that do that most successfully are the ones who are not rejecting anything new. The people who remain in their bubble generally reject any of the new ideas. Everything is bad. Things were only good when I managed the world.
Or,
you know, they don't say, I manage the world.
No, but, I know what you mean.
Yeah, and just cannot find anything worthwhile in especially technology. And this is what we mean by the senior bubble.
Well, let me reintroduce you. And that's Barbara Fleischer. She joined us along with Thelma Reese. And they maintain a blog called elderchicks.com. They've also co-authored a book, and it's called The New Senior Woman, Reinventing the Years Beyond Midlife. And I should add that they'll be at the Cosmopolitan Club in Philadelphia on Tuesday, February 25th at 11:30 for a lunch, a talk, and a book signing. And that's at 1616 Latimer Street here in Center City, Philadelphia. Well, it looks like you've tapped a lot of our listeners' curiosity. We've got a lot of people that want to join us at 1-888-477-9499. Let me get Liz to join us from University City. Liz, go ahead. You're on Radio Times.
Good morning.
Good morning,
Marty. I'm so happy to talk with you. I really enjoy your show.
Thank you so much.
And I wanted to ask your guests about this idea of the golden girls sort of living arrangement that seems to have, you know, caught on in certain parts of the country. And I'm thinking that that would be something, you know, I might want to do in the future. And wondering if you know anything about it. I've looked online. I don't see anything really about how to go about this. But it sounds like a great idea to provide companionship and also be able to live on a limited budget.
Let me toss that to you, Thelma Reese, and I guess it's sort of the, you know, a commune of sorts, I guess.
There is one movement afoot that I know of in Philadelphia about, it's called co-housing, and that's talked about in the book. Mm-hmm. And in fact, Lynn Iser, who is interviewed in the book, talks about that. But the idea of women sharing a house that way, I think it's a great idea. A late friend of mine used to say that someday when we're old, we're going to do this. She was a colleague of mine and a dear friend at community college. But she always added the caveat, but you have to promise that we'll have fights.
That we won't all just get along, you mean?
Right, exactly. If we don't have fights, it's not going to be any fun.
That's a great attitude to have. Thanks, Liz, for calling into Radio Times. Let me see what Karen has to say from Westchester, and Barbara will get a response from you. Karen, go ahead. You're on the air.
Hi, I'm an elder kick, and I retired 3 years ago from the legal profession. And I had no plan whatsoever, but in the past 3 years, I've sort of muddled into a whole new career, and I now teach American law to foreign lawyers. I've spent most of the past 3 years over in Russia teaching,
wow.
And this is all just serendipity. And when I'm here in the States, I teach foreign lawyers who come to study in this country. So it's a whole new world. I always wanted to teach. I'm with young people all the time, with people who aren't, for the most part, much like me. And it's the best time of life. And I speak about it and write about it as much as I can, trying to inspire other elder chicks, too, to do things they always dreamed of doing, to travel, to know new cultures, and do things they feel of value. I've also taken all kinds of language courses and things in line with this, but it's just a whole new life, and I never planned it either. It just happened.
Well, that's interesting. Barbara, let me give you a chance to respond to Karen's very beautiful description of what her life is like now.
Well, Karen, you hark back to something that Marty said earlier, which is, were you like this before? And I'm willing to bet that even though you didn't set out and write a plan, actually make a plan for this, that you were always open to opportunities and experiences and ideas and welcomed them into your life. And there'd be no reason for that to stop now. And it's continuing. And that's wonderful.
But I do get from your book, and perhaps, Thelma, I'll toss this to you, which is it probably is good, if not to map out the rest of your life, but certainly to think about what retirement may mean and at least to have a bit of a game plan.
You know, well, I think if it's not specific, it can be, because people who had really interests and passions when they were younger that they never pursued can really plan to do it when they retire. But otherwise, if it's an attitude of resilience and looking, as Karen said, being open to things that happen. That's a plan in itself. I'm not going to close my mind. I'm not going to sit back and say, well, if they don't ask me to be president of the group, I don't want to join. I think a lot of people who were in positions of authority find it hard to go into volunteer work where they're not going to be the head of the thing right away.
Giving up control.
We have all known such people.
Yes, we have.
But they're missing a lot. If they can put that aside and actually become a foot soldier for a while, they may find something new that's really appealing.
Barbara, you want to add to that?
I was just going to say control is the big C, the big bugaboo C. People who simply refuse to give it up, whether it's their relationships with their families or their relationships to the world outside, in this case, what they're going to do. If they can't be in control, they're taking their ball and going home. Mm. Bad.
And you're going to go home alone. I mean, it sounds like you're
going home alone.
Going home alone. Something to think in.
Yes.
Barbara, I think we have someone that knows you who's going to join us next. This is Beryl from Newtown, Pennsylvania.
Beryl. Oh, Beryl.
Beryl, go ahead. You're on the air. Go ahead.
Hi, Aunt Bobby. It's Beryl and Cal, and we're just so proud of you.
Aww.
Aunt Bobby has been a lifelong learner, a lifelong teacher, and a model of resilience for her entire family in the way that she parents and the way that she just picks up and travels and is open to everything. And I think that she and I'm sure her colleague are just role models for everybody.
Oh, Beryl, thank you.
That's really
you
nice.
So much.
I was
well,
so excited.
I'm so excited that you are with your lovely family are listening. That's great.
Beryl, I appreciate the call to Radio Times. Thelma, Beryl said something about lifelong learning, and there are now so many different ways that you can travel the world and also learn things and be part of a group and experience new experiences.
Well, you know, I love to travel, and I've been fortunate to do a lot of traveling, but the best traveling that I've ever done has been the kind where you're actually working on something.
Uh-huh.
While you're in another place. I did it through Earthwatch. and several times. But I think that's a different kind of travel, because you come away knowing that you've contributed something somewhere, and you've learned so much when you're working in another place, so much more than when you're just looking. But I still like to just look, too.
Sure.
But there are all kinds of ways of learning now. If you can't get out and you can Google, my goodness, you can re-educate yourself, continue to educate yourself forever.
Let me get, looks like Diana from Center City, Philadelphia to join us. Hi, Diana. Go ahead. You're on Radio Times.
Hi.
Hi there.
The book sounds fascinating. In my own case, I find it, I am 76, I find it very hard to think of the potential of old age without being equally cognizant of the losses. In my own case, I've been a lifelong writer, and that's something I will never stop. It's all I can do, really. And but I find the loss, certain losses like memory, sense of organization, are real barriers for me. And I'm wondering if the authors talk about this kind of thing in the book.
Diana, I really appreciate your call to Radio Times. Thelma, can I start with you?
Yes, we do. We do talk about that, and they're real. And there's no sugarcoating the fact that when you reach whatever age, if you get to be old, you're going to have suffered loss. If you think you didn't, you weren't paying attention, because you did. And it's all kinds of loss. It can be loss of position. It can be loss of faculties, loss of friends, family. And we have to cope with it, and we have to understand it. We have to learn how to give some things up and use others. And we have to learn to respond in ways that we can find that are healthy for us.
Does that mean accepting it?
There's a lot to acceptance. And acceptance doesn't mean that you then just curl up in a ball and isolate yourself. But it does mean adjustment to a difference in the way you can handle things.
Well, let's take another short break, and then we'll get back to our conversation. That's Thelma Reese, and I should say she's a former director of the Mayor's Commission on Literacy for the City of Philadelphia. She taught at community college. She also was co-founder of the Philadelphia Young Playwrights, and she joins us along with Bobby Fleischer, a retired professor of education, taught at Beaver College, now Arcadia University. And they have created and maintained ElderChicks.com, and they have also co-authored a book we're talking about. It's called The New Senior Woman, Reinventing the Years Beyond Midlife. We're going to take a very short break, get back to our conversation, and our callers at 1-888-477-9499. Send us an email, radiotimes@whyy.org, and you can send us a tweet at Marty Moss Cohen. Much more after this very short break. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
Support for WHYY comes from Delaware Valley College. Delaware Valley College offers a Master of Arts in Counseling Psychology that prepares culturally competent practitioners to work in the mental health field. Students can choose from social justice community counseling or child and adolescent counseling. More information about a Master's of Arts in Counseling Psychology from Delaware Valley College is available online at delval.edu/grad.
I'm Marty Moss Cohen. We are determined to finish this winter membership campaign, even if the weather is not cooperating. We know exactly how you feel as another storm unloads on the area. We're here for you through rain, sleet, hail, and snow, providing the kinds of programs that you expect from WHYY. And like you, we have bills to pay. Make a pledge right now, and here's that phone number. It's 1-888-345-9499. You can pledge online at our secure server at whyy.org. We will reach our overall goal of 8,400 pledges, one call at a time, especially if you are one of those callers. Think of what you get every day here at WHYY, a mix of news and interviews that are unique and handmade and only available because of our business model. We rely on our listeners for about half of our operating budget, kind of crazy when you think about it, but it's a model that has worked for decades. 1-888-345-9499, WHYY.org. Thanks for that pledge. This is Radio Times here on WHYY in Philadelphia. I'm Marty Moss-Cohen talking with two elder chicks, Barbara Fleischer and Thelma Reese, and again taking calls at 1-888-477-9499. Our last caller, though, Barbara, got me to want to ask this question, and we've been talking about all the good things that can happen with old age, but of course not just loneliness and loss, but also thinking about one's death. I'm about to turn 65. I feel more mortal than I did 20 years ago. And I'm sure since you're both in your 80s, you must feel even more mortal too.
Yes, I can understand stumbling over that word.
Yes.
it is always a difficult and painful thing to think about. Yes, of course we think about this as we get older, and I have to say that my way of dealing with this is I try to live in the moment. Mm-hmm. I'm not denying, of course, that this may happen, that I will die, but I don't let it consume my time. I am determined to enjoy all of the time that I have, make the most of it, do as many things, and sometimes I almost feel out of breath because, oh, I have to do this, I have to do that. Not because I'm going to die tomorrow, but because I might. And I don't want to feel when I do perhaps have to give up my health, which may happen, right, that I have regretted that I haven't done certain things. So I very much keep that in my head.
How about for you, Thelma?
Well, I do too, but I think one of the positives that has come to me in thinking about this is I realize that I start thinking legacy and what it means. And I'm thinking in different terms about, we think about the role models we'd like to be or the many, many role models that we met in doing this new senior woman. And what we leave each other, what we give each other, and what we leave for our families. And it's not about the things. Mm-hmm. It's about who we are and what we're doing. And the fact that we're looking at each other this way and looking for role models among each other and realizing that we are being role models, when Bobby's niece called, you heard that.
Yes.
A whole family looks to her as a role model. This is a legacy. And you become conscious of the fact that it means something to other people, people we don't know. There are people we've met on the blog that I may never, ever get to meet in person. But they are role models for me. They're giving me something. And they're leaving something for other people this way.
I have an email from Helen from Kennett Square saying, I'm so enjoying this program. There's not enough recognition and acknowledgement given to women and men, she says, who are seniors. I'm 69, and my friends who are older and younger live lives with no resemblance to those of our parents. I play competitive tennis, and there are scads of women just like me out on the courts. And we travel, we work, we volunteer. We have little spare time and happier than ever. Life is grand! Exclamation point. Bobby, I'm sure, Barbara Fisher, I'm sure that has a familiar ring to you.
It does. And this is what I mean by living in the moment. I'm the fact that this is such a wonderful time in my life is what consumes my time and my thoughts. I really do not focus on dying.
Let me get, looks like Gail from Regalsville to join us. And Gail, go ahead. You're on Radio Times.
Hi.
Hi there.
I just wanted to say I'm 62, and at this point in my life, I'm one of those lifelong learners. I was an educator, and now I started working on my doctorate, which I've always wanted to do. I bought a large motorcycle, and I started a meetup group on called Upper Bucks Riders, and I now have 82 people in my motorcycle group. I also did what the authors are talking about. I always wanted to crochet, so I started a crochet group that meets once or twice a month. And I live on a farm up here in Reeglesville. I'm heating the house with a wood stove, so I'm running in and out. It's keeping me fit. And I'm also making chicken soup. So I've got the
you got it all there, Gail.
That's wonderful.
Traditional granny type of lifestyle with the wood-burning stove and the chicken soup going. But I love my
motorcycle.
Well, you know, Gail, I have to ask you, what kind of motorcycle do you have?
Actually, I'm embarrassed to say I have three. and they're all 98 Honda Shadows, 1100 cc's, which
go,
is
girl.
Funny because when men see me, they'll say, oh, that's a big bike for a little lady. And I have to laugh, but I'm tall, and in most instances, I'm taller than those men that are telling me that.
Well, all I can say, Gail, is you go, girl, and thank you so much for calling into Radio Times. Sounds like some of the women in your book there, Thelma Reese.
Certainly does. Certainly does. Reminds me of Wanda, whom you'll meet in Northern California, who is just great at having the time of her life.
That's great. I have a question for you. Let me put this to you, Barbara. We've been talking. I mean, the book is focused towards women. Are you going to write a book for men?
Well, that is already in the works.
Oh, there you go.
Yes. Many men have asked us that. Why just women? What about us? And we decided that there were differences in the way women and men approach their retirement years. And we thought that it was each was sufficient to, unto itself for a book of its own.
And what's the male version of elder chicks? Is it elder hunks?
I don't know. We haven't decided. Elder dudes? Maybe?
Elder dudes? I don't know. I'm looking at our engineer, Bob Alls. He has a funny look on his face.
Well, you can pick his brain. See what he wants.
Yeah, we'll see what he's thinking about.
Get back
here.
To us on that, Barney.
Exactly. Let me get, looks like Elizabeth from West Philadelphia to join our conversation. Elizabeth, go ahead. You're on Radio Times.
Hi, Marty.
Hi there.
I'm a great fan of yours. I feel like you are educating me.
I have
a very flexible schedule. I'm really busy. And one of the things that as I decided to retire, even though I could have worked for a while longer, was that I didn't need the money. And I'd saved some, and I'm living a very, you know, simple, light beyond the earth life. I gave my car away. I'm lucky enough to live, you know, where there's good mass transportation. And I'm also following Ellen Goodman's advice. Ellen Goodman, that news, that journalist who
sure.
was so focused on women for so many years. And I think her last editorial was a real message to those of us who are finding ourselves empty nested and looking for something new. Women need to get involved in some of the substantial issues in our lives. And they may not always pay well, but there are so many problems that need to be dealt with and made aware of. Even if you haven't had that education,
sure.
there's lots of ways of learning about things. I'm thinking about wars.
Well, you know what, Elizabeth? Let me take your call only because we got a lot of people and you raised some really interesting points. And I want to give Thelma Reese a chance to respond about getting involved. No argument there. And she's right. There are many things that need our help.
Absolutely. And, of course, Jean Haskell's Granny's Peace Brigade is very active in Philadelphia. And there are lots of wonderful
causes to work for, and talk about feeling better about yourself when you go to sleep at night. I think if you feel you've done something about one of these problems, whether it's guns, wars, famine, anything, working with kids right in the city, volunteering yourself to go, as Bobby did, to a school with friends and say, we can knit. Give us a few kids, and we'll just teach them how to knit. And when you sit there and do that with them, they start talking. And they make a connection with older people who care about them. There are so many ways to do it.
Elizabeth, thanks for the call to Radio Times. And Barbara, let me go back to you and talk about children, because that certainly is a theme in this book, which is having a different relationship, I guess, with children. Some children want their older parents to live close by so they can keep an eye on them for all the obvious reasons. But sometimes that can impact this desire for independence.
Yes, that is something that we heard time and again from women, that their children try to, in their good intentions, try to take control over the parents and want them to live lives that will be easier for the children to keep an eye on them, as you say. But this is not always such a good thing. It sometimes means that the parents have to move across the country or move out of the situation that they're most happy in order to appease their children. This is not always a very good, happy, doesn't always have such a happy result.
I'm curious about Thelma Reese, how some of the people that you interviewed, how they resolved that or perhaps even wrestled with that about where to live and how close to their children, what that relationship should be about.
The wrestling is definitely there in just about every case. And sometimes I've seen it resolved very happily where people have moved all the way across the country. My own children live in California. And I've seen some of the parents of their contemporaries still trying to decide, do we go or do we stay? Are we able to divide time? As we said, technology makes it easier to be in touch. If you decide to stay. But it's something that every family has to work out. You know, in all of this, Marty, there is no one-size-fits-all. There is no absolute how-to for aging and aging well.
And that's Thelma Reese, who joins us along with Barbara Fleischer. They are the creators and maintain the ElderChicks.com blog. They've also co-authored a new book called The New Senior Woman, Reinventing the Years Beyond Midlife. They are working on a book for men, and you can catch up with them at the Cosmopolitan Club of Philadelphia. That's on Tuesday, February 25th at 11:30. That's for a lunch, a talk, and a book signing. And the Cosmopolitan Club is located at 1616 Latimer Street in Center City, Philadelphia. I'm Marty Moscowen, and you're listening to Radio Times here on WHYY. Barbara, I'm curious about your friendship with Thelma. How long have you two known each other?
Ooh, is it 50 years, Thelma?
50 years.
Give or take.
Give or take, right. Actually, we both met when we were teaching at the Laboratory School of Temple University.
Oh, wow.
That's not in existence anymore, I don't believe, at least not in that form. Well, I moved across the country and moved a few times, but the friendship was sustained nonetheless because it runs deep.
It runs deep because, I mean, I think we can hear this the way the two of you talk and obviously your comfort with each other. Thelma, how do you describe your relationship with Barbara?
Well, I think also that this writing together has been an extraordinary experience. And at this point, we write so similarly that which means we think so similarly that we can't always tell. We don't always remember because we're aging.
Right.
Who wrote what? Which makes us free to say, gee, that was really good.
And how about the arguments, Thelma Reese? Are we having arguments between you?
You know, there really have not been arguments. I have to say that. There really have. I think because we both have an advanced sense of humor.
Well, one can hear that. Barbara, I'm curious about how you see your relationship with Thelma.
I have to agree with what Thelma says. Certainly writing the book has cemented it in a way that we didn't have it before. People have asked us, well, how do you write together? How does that happen? Do you sit in the same room and write and talk and then write it down? And the answer is no, we don't do it that way. In this book, we sort of divided the topics, and you take this one, and I said, oh, well, I'll take that one, and we decided which ones we wanted to write about. And then we would write and then email it to each other, and then the editing would start. Maybe an idea that I had would spark an idea that Thelma would have. And then she would write that up. And then I might say, oh, I don't know, I think this goes here. I think we can add this. It was just a very interactive thing, but the interaction took place not in the same room. The interaction took place separately. We were in separate places.
Well, we're kind of in separate places this morning because of the weather,
right.
But that didn't stop our conversation. Barbara Fleischer, thank you so much for joining us today on Radio Times.
Well, thank you so much. It was my pleasure.
A pleasure for us as well. And Thelma Reese, thank you very much as well.
Oh, it was lovely, and I'm a confirmed listener.
Well, we appreciate that, and we appreciate the fact that you joined us on Radio Times. And again, the title of their book is called The New Senior Woman, and it's subtitled Reinventing the Years Beyond Midlife. We do appreciate those phone calls to Radio Times. Go to whyy.org/Radio Times, and you can find out much more about this program. Bob Ball is the engineer for today's edition of the show. It's produced by Susan Greenbaum, Patty McMahon, Debbie Builder, and Emily Bryant. I'm Marty Moscowen. Thank you so much for joining us. We'll